A reading from Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The word of the Lord.
God, grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, how can we not talk today about Sarah and her laughing? It is unquestionably one of my favorite moments in all of Scriptures. Well read today, Pope. Thank you very much. It is a moment where we recognize our humanity and God's godness butting up against each other, but in a really beautiful way. We all know Sarah's laugh, don't we? It's that laugh when you have to laugh because it's the only thing that keeps you from crying. It's that laugh when you have to laugh when it's the only thing that keeps you from wringing someone's neck. It's that laugh that you have to laugh because there's no other option but to laugh, because any other option could get you arrested. God has said something profoundly ridiculous. Profoundly. And Sarah is not having it. Thank God for her honesty. And yes, she goes, well, I didn't really laugh. That moment we all understand too. We've all been caught. But the laughter is the honesty. The laughter is that recognition of how ridiculous God is being. Because here's the thing, God isn't just saying, hey, you guys who are 99 and 90, I'm gonna give you children. Ridiculous right there, yes? Goes further. He's been saying this to them for 25 years. This isn't just ridiculous anymore. It's a little insulting, isn't it? God telling people that this thing that cannot happen to them, would not happen to them, could not happen to them, is unquestionably, unequivocally, and totally in every way going to happen. Just you see, just you wait, just one more moment, just one more year. Don't worry, no for reals, this time, keep hoping, no actually, right now, hope coming, really. Sarah laughs on behalf of all of us who have known hopelessness. Hopelessness. Every single person here knows what hopelessness feels like, knows what it feels like to be powerless in the face of life and wondering if life will actually amount to anything for us. I have yet to meet a person who has not struggled with that or does not struggle with that in some way. Our own purpose, our own reality in this life, do we count? Do we matter to God, to this world? And make no mistake, this story is not about fertility and infertility. Now, I know it's there, but we get hung up on that so much. You'll never believe what happened. This woman was 93 years old and she gave birth to a child. Isn't that crazy? And I looked over at Deb and I said, yeah, and now they have to raise it. The primary focus of this story is not about fertility or infertility. It's not about people not having children or having children. This isn't actually about, oh, I wanted this, but I prayed enough and then I got it. That's a detail. It matters, but that's a symbol for something much deeper. And we need to read our Bibles. We need to go back to the beginning of their story. This is a big Bible we have up here. And if you go back to the beginning of the story of Abraham and Sarah, so we're in chapter, 16, 17 when that happens. But if you go back to chapter 12, when we first meet Abraham, his name is Abram, and we first meet Sarah, and her name is Sarai, and their names change as their lives change. But when we go back to their very first moment when we meet them, listen to the way God enters into their lives. This is how God shows up. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Does that sound primarily like it's about, I'm going to make sure you have a kid someday? No. Primarily, it's about God entering into people's lives and saying, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless you in such a way that you will be a blessing. But I'm going to go further than that. I'm not just going to bless you, And I'm not just going to bless you in such a way that you will be a blessing. I'm going to bless you in such a way that the whole world will experience blessing. Now, the matter of the fact is, he is talking to a group of people who haven't had, or a couple who haven't had children, and that he's telling them that he's going to make a great nation of them. And we're all kind of literal thinkers like Abram, so Abram's first response is, yeah, but I don't have any kids. So there is this reality of God giving them a child, but that child is only a piece of the larger picture, which is God's blessing being given, God's hope of blessing being given to hopeless. And if you don't think they're hopeless, notice this about the story. God shows up to a 75-year-old man's house who never bothered moving out of his parents' place. Who's more hopeless than that? You think it's bad when your 25-year-old comes home? Abram's 75 years old, and the first thing God says is, "Can you please move out?" He goes up to this 75-year-old person, and he says, "Your name is defined by your father, your house is defined by your father, your life is defined by your parents, but I'm going to make you a blessing." For every single one of us who ever wondered, do we amount to something? Do we matter in this world? Will my life have any meaning? God shows up and says emphatically, insistently, and unequivocally, yes to you. You are a blessing who will be blessed and who will bless, and it's who you are. It's in your DNA. It's what you were born to be. You were born to bless. You were born to be a blessing. But you don't always know it. It matters that in this story, Abram and Sarai are in their 70s. That's on the older end of things in our time. Sorry to some of you, but you know that, right? Even older for them back then. And it's a natural thing that as Abram and Sarai get older, that they might look at their life and say, what have we done with it? They might have accomplished things, actually. I don't mean to say they're losers. It's just that we all know that people get into that place in their heads, all of us, where we take a look, we take stock, and we wonder, have I made a difference? Will my life in this sort of ocean of the world, will my life have made more than a ripple? Will it have had an effect? Will it? I don't know. Our tension in this life, a great struggle for all people, is that tension between hope and hopelessness. Hope and hopelessness is right at the core of so much of our lives. The story of Abraham and Sarah is a story that is meant to show us how God enters into our hopelessness, how God shows up in the midst of our wondering if we mean anything at all, how God appears in the presence of our despair and our longing for more, in the midst of our existential questioning, who am I and why am I? The story of Abraham and Sarah is the story of the God who shows up and says, you exist by my blessing, for my blessing, and so that you may be a blessing in this world. And maybe we'll laugh at that sometimes. Maybe when you look at yourself, or when you're down on yourself, or when you're feeling particularly unloved and unlovable and unloving, the idea that you are a blessing who was born to bless is laughable. It's why that reading that we heard from Romans today is so scandalous. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, is the way of saying, isn't this ridiculous, this whole Jesus thing? That's what Paul's saying. Isn't it audacious and preposterous to believe that we have a God who will live for us, who will die for us, who will conquer death and raise us up into a new life of love and connection, redemption, reconciliation, and relationship, that we have that kind of God? Isn't that crazy? Isn't it laughable? We can laugh at it. We can laugh at it. But God shows up, and he confronts that laughter. Oh, you laughed.
Well, I didn't laugh at that.
No, you laughed. But that's not the punchline. The punchline is a year later, when the baby's born, and she names him Isaac, which means laughter. She names her child laughter. She names her child after that moment of truth where hopelessness met hope, where despair met preposterous love, where they came together and looked at one another. There was laughter and there was life. And she knew for a moment that there was blessing, and she knew for a moment that everything God said would happen, and she laughed again. A laughter of joy, a laughter of connection, a laughter of recognition that even her life had meaning. Even Abraham's life meant something, which means even our lives, sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah, our lives are blessed and are meant for blessing. Now I'm going to read that list again. You need to hear it again. God says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham and Sarah do not live to see all of that happen. They don't live to see the entire promise come true. God's promise is not a prosperity gospel promise where he says, do all the right things and it'll all happen just like that. And that's important for us because if we're going to enter into this God-love life with Jesus Christ and with one another, we have to know that it doesn't mean that all things will be solved. Again, I'll say it again, her blessing, her gift, is at 93 years old, she now has to raise a child? What? God gives them blessing, but that child, that laughter, that joy, that truth of blessing is not the whole picture. It is a peace that reminds them that God is present and living and active blessing in their lives. And so if you're looking for God's blessing to make your life perfect, flawless, painless, look for another God. Look for a different faith. This faith does not promise us that all of the blessings of the whole world will be made manifest and perfect to us this side of heaven. We do not get that promise. But this faith teaches us that even in this world of gross injustice, terrible violence, deep pain, and so much hopelessness, God, the God of all creation who made all things, is living and present and is birthing blessing into our lives every single day. God is making his promise come true in your life today. And sometimes you feel like you've got to laugh at that. But you got to know that blessing when you see it. We have to be people who train ourselves to see the blessing, to know that God is working for love and relationship and reconciliation, for redemption in our lives and in this world. May we be people who see it everywhere we go. Jesus looks out on his people and says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He's not talking about going out and saving souls. He's saying, laborers, go out and recognize how plentiful with blessing and love this world is. Be people who see it. Articulate that blessing. Know blessing when you see it. See God's handiwork everywhere you look, because the harvest of blessing and love is plentiful. You can laugh at that all you want. God will confront your laughter with love, and that love will change the world.